Hey, this is Matt Lesher. I play Eobard Thawne on CW's The Flash, and this is the Central City Underground.
Run, Barry. Run.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again to the Central City Underground. I am one of your co-hosts, Tony Caselli.
And I am King Zettelmeyer.
Yeah, locked in a little room, just as you should be. Thanks for joining us, everybody, here at the Central City Underground. We, of course, like to discuss our favorite superhero show,
The Flash.
This is episode 90, Joe, of the CCU.
How could that be?
Yeah, we just kept doing them. Nobody said stop. I mean, that's not even true. There are probably a good number of people who were like, please stop.
Not but anything, just stop.
We shunned them. We shun you. And we kept going. So episode CCU 90, where we are talking about season 3, episode 22 of The Flash, Infantino Street. That aired on May 16th, 2017. Joe, what'd you think?
I think that every time I heard the name Infantino Street, Desperation Street from The Cure kept playing in my head.
Oh, really?
Every time.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're the only one that happened to.
I bet someone else did.
Feel free to let us know, everybody.
I really liked this episode, Tony. I mean, yes, it was a little bit of filler, but I didn't really think it was that much filler. And boy, howdy, I didn't think that they would go to the Iris moment at the end of this episode. I was assuming that was for next week.
Yeah, I was too. I was caught off guard the way it ended. And we'll talk because I don't think it's ended. But we'll get into that when we get into our recap. I agree. I liked it a lot. Yeah, I didn't think it was filler. I thought it was a fun, interesting way to see Barry try and solve it.
Right.
And the stuff with the team, you know, I think that's one thing. There hasn't been a ton of filler this season, it's felt like.
No.
There have been some episodes that we've all gone, really? But I still feel like, despite that, it's been a fairly driven season, right?
I totally agree. And if anything that I got out of this episode, it was how much I miss Captain Cold.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I loved seeing Harry again.
Yep. Didn't expect that.
Right? King Shark comes back. All sorts of fun stuff. So
yeah, there was a lot to love.
Yeah. So, Joe, a couple nuts and bolts things. This episode was written the story was written by Andrew Kreisberg, who, of course, is one of the executive producers and main dudes over there.
Right.
The teleplay was by Grain Godfrey, who has done a whole bunch of stuff. I feel like she's one of Kreisberg's right-hand people, you know? She's got a whole bunch of credits in terms of story editor, written by, teleplay, story by, a ton of them on this show, and then a whole bunch also on Legends of Tomorrow and Arrow, that kind of stuff. So I feel like she's really had a hand in shaping the whole series along with Kreisberg and those guys.
Would you say she's Glorious Godfrey?
All right. I'll give that to you.
Do you see what I did?
I do.
DC comic book reference, people.
Funny. Do you want to explain that before I go on?
Glorious Godfrey, if memory serves, is one of the many villains in the court of Darkseid.
Dun, dun, bun.
Dun, dun, dun.
A lot of Darkseid people have cool names like that.
I'm not sure I'd say cool.
Fair enough. I accept your critique. this episode was directed by Michael Alowitz. It's the second one he's directed for The Flash. Last season, he directed The Reverse Flash Returns.
Oh, one of my favorite episodes.
Yes. But he's also got a bunch of other directing credits outside of The Flash, including a handful in the Arrowverse. There's a Supergirl, at least one Legends of Tomorrow. But then he's also directed a ton of Vampire Diaries and things like that. So, yeah, and I really liked the direction of this episode. Again, I thought we got a really great episode full of wonderful character moments.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. Come on, the cell phone thing. Oh, my heart.
There was so much, really, yeah. and the stuff with Joe and Iris and all the way through. No, really nice.
Yeah.
Joe, this episode had a 2.48 on the first airing as far as ratings go. So a little on the low side.
It'll pick up.
As it always does, this show has a tendency to pick up a lot when it comes to the time-shifted viewing.
Right, and the DVRing and the whatnot.
Yes, exactly. And I do have a little bit of other news, Joe.
News away.
The next season lineup for the CW was announced.
Oh, yes!
And Supergirl stays on Monday, Flash and Legends of Tomorrow stay on Tuesday, as they have been. Arrow, interestingly enough, moves to Thursday. And Gotham, which is not a CW show, but it is a DC Universe show.
Right.
Gotham is moving from Monday to Thursday also. I think they're going to try and put those two up against each other.
Well, and if memory serves, another DC show is joining the CW roster.
It is. And this is an interesting thing. Black Lightning is coming to the CW.
Right.
But it's coming as a mid-season show, so it won't start until after the new year, right? Midway through the season.
Right.
And weirdly,
I know.
It's not connected to the Arrowverse.
Boo! That is my response to that.
There was
Boo!
Just I just read another article or I just read an article today that I think was Andrew Kreisberg. It might have been Berlanti, I can't remember. Saying, yep, we're not connecting that to the Arrowverse. There will be no five-show crossovers. It's its own thing, which I'm a little disappointed by. I'm still really excited to see Black Lightning because it's a very cool character.
Oh, totally.
I also get it because I can't imagine how hard it is to line up four shows to do crossovers, much less adding a fifth one in. But I guess we'll also find out why when they do it. Maybe there's just thematic reasons or you know, just, I don't know if it's logistic or storytelling reasons or what, that they're just going to keep it a separate thing.
Right.
But we'll find out next season when we start watching it.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So, Joe, Infantino Street, what kind of rating did you give it?
I really dug this episode. You know, again, I mean, Captain Cold shows up and my ratings automatically go up.
It's easy to have a big man crush on Wentworth Miller.
He's so awesome. Mm-hmm. And he's so, like, again, like, completely different than how I ever imagined the character, but it's really grown on me.
Yeah, good.
So I gave this episode an 8.8. How cute.
How cute. That was when he found out King Shark's name.
It was King Shark. How cute. So
King
good.
Shark, how cute. That whole thing with the King Shark was fun.
So good.
Yes, I liked this. It sounds like I liked this a little more than you. I gave this 9.25. Where the hell is Julian's?
Where the hell is Julian?
Where the hell? You know, there was a part of me that went, is he not there because we're supposed to wonder if he's already transmogrified himself into Iris?
You know, I don't think it was an accident. I think he was missing for a reason that hopefully we'll see next week.
I don't know. Maybe he's off filming Harry Potter 8 or something. I didn't even. That's not a thing. But who knows? It was just weird that they didn't even acknowledge it. Because normally we get a, you know, oh, Wally skipped off to Earth 2 this week, you know, or something. So I don't know. I don't think that Julian was transmogrified into Iris and is killed in her place.
No, I don't think so either, although I think someone was.
I think there's much to discuss there. I cannot wait. Yeah, I'm already like, is it Tuesday? Is it Tuesday yet?
I know. But at the same time, when Tuesday hits, last episode of the season.
Oh, Papa. I know, sad. So, Joe, we talked about Infantino being an Easter egg.
Right.
Because, of course, Carmine Infantino was one of the great artists of the
Flash. Talking about awesome names. That's an awesome name. Carmine Infantino?
Totally. Absolutely. But there's also sort of an ancillary Easter egg. Is that a thing? We're going to make that a thing?
An ancillary?
Thank you.
There you go.
I wanted to throw it out because I thought it was fun. Captain Cold appeared in this episode, Infantino Street. Joe, guess which artist created the character of Captain Cold?
Why, I bet it was Carmine Infantino.
I bet you're right. Along with a gentleman named John Broom, they were the two guys to create Captain Cold back in 1957. So right around when you started reading comics, Joe, I think. And I just thought that was fun that Captain Cold appeared in this episode named after the guy who created him. I thought that was cool.
I agree.
So there you go. Put that in your little DC tidbits that you'll never be able to do anything with.
Yep.
Got a whole basket of them. Joe, I just have, for this episode, I just have notes in chronological order. Should we just more or less go through?
Let's do it.
We got a bunch of feedback for this, too. I think we've got eight or nine. And so that'll be fun to read when we get to the end. But let's start at the beginning. What'd you think?
You know, let's jump on in. I really, like I said, this was such a fun one. You know, obviously we had, you know, the preview, the little reminders of, you know, we had like a montage.
I really liked that opening montage.
I did too.
Song was great. I love that they did that song at the beginning and at the end. I would love to see them keep playing with that kind of, you know, tweaking. Because there was, unless I'm misremembering it, there was no monologue opening this week.
Right.
And I think that's fun. I love just launching in and seeing, you know, something that connected to the end again. That was a fun way to do bookend the whole episode, I thought.
Well... And yeah, absolutely. There's a part of it that's like, did we lose the monologue because Barry's actually, like, we're acknowledging that Barry's like the 10th fastest person in the world?
I love listening to everybody complain about that. So many funny memes on Facebook.
Right.
Great.
I loved the little appearance of Felicity Smoke's name on Cisco's phone.
Yeah, during the whole montage of everybody, you know, laying there going 24 hours, we got nothing. You know, and you got people working on it, and Cisco gets a text from Felicity. I can't find anything that will work. You know, she's trying to help them find a power source that's bigger than the sun.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard can that be?
Right. You know, the other thing that I liked in this episode that we haven't seen a lot of, unless I am forgetting them, was little subtitles giving us 24 hours until Iris West's death.
Right? That hits the emotional cord.
12 hours until the death of Iris West. Just bam, bam. And the thing that got me at the end was, oh, they weren't just letting us know where we were. They were telling us, oh, yeah, we're going to kill her at the end. And then did, you know.
That was the big shocker of the episode for me, is I just didn't think we'd go there that soon.
Yeah. So I love we end that montage thing with Barry and Iris, and they're both asleep. Nobody can sleep. Nobody can focus, you know.
Right.
And she tells him she wants caviar.
Right? Can you blame her?
He's gonna speed off and be the Flash and go wherever he needs to around the world to get caviar. But that's really just a ruse because she wants to record a message to him.
I know.
I liked that a lot.
That message.
Yep.
So,
and we don't see what that is until the end. I liked it. I liked that a lot.
I'm apologizing in advance if you guys heard that sound. That is my cat who has decided she's happy to see me and is meowing.
Hi, Puddin.
Hi, Puddin. Yes, her name is Puddin.
So then Barry gets a text from Cisco. I think we got good news. And they have tasked their satellites to search for the right kind of power source, and they found it and have set up a meeting with Lila at Argus.
Well, I love, you know, they're setting up stuff right from the top, right? Meeting outside because every inch of Argus is covered in cameras.
Right, exactly. And then she says, I don't like that you're spying on me, Cisco.
Is it spying if we're friends?
Yeah, right. I think it still is, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I think there are laws against it.
Right?
And
you know, not everyone just gives away information, Tony.
Yes, not going to go there. So, no politics, Joe.
I know, I couldn't resist.
But what did you think of Lila turning him down?
You know, I get it. I mean, it broke my heart a little bit, but it is just like, say hello to the thing that makes the A-bomb look like one of those finger snap fireworks.
Right.
right? This isn't something you can just loan out to buddies.
Well, and also, I liked that it came back to Flashpoint. I mean, we're at episode 22, and the thing that happened in episode 1 is still giving Barry grief. His awful right. decision, because, you know, she literally says, yeah, no, I'm going to not hold it against you that you turned my son into a daughter, or daughter into a son.
Daughter into son, right? Yeah.
I'm going to let that go, but I'll tell you what, that does give me reason to not trust you, Barry. Sorry, you're not getting the giant thing that could wipe out millions of people.
Right?
Right. And I get it. And then I know there were some people on Facebook and elsewhere saying, but what's with her change of heart at the end? And we can get to that when we get to it. But I also understand that, too.
Yeah,
I didn't hate it. It's a little plot device-y, you know, this has to happen for story reasons. But I also understood what the story reasons were, and I understood the character motivations for it. So I didn't right. hate it.
Well, and honestly, so much less plot device-y than plenty of things that happen on the show. I'm totally fine to go with it.
Yeah, right. There are some times where, you know, just a giant banner comes down and goes, this will make no sense, ignore it. And
right, ignore it. Time travel rules mean nothing.
There wasn't a lot of that in this episode, I don't think.
No. Although there was a thing, and we're coming up to it.
Okay. So the next thing that happened is basically we go back to Star Labs, and Barry says, yeah, okay, we can't do this, so we're going to steal it. And right. Sisko points out, no, you're not. Yeah, Wally and I will phase through. We'll get it. We'll phase out. And Sisko just says, nope. Look at this thing. And even HR, that whole segment with HR made me laugh. What's that thing? Ooh, no, that's not. Ooh, my God. Ooh. It's a
the
power
running
dampener.
Commentary.
Right? Whatever.
I feel like his superhero name is Peanut Gallery.
Absolutely. That's great.
Oh, my gosh.
But they've got a power dampener, so nobody's superpowers will work in Argus, which makes sense when you have that many supervillains locked up.
Right.
Right? But Barry decides, and this was, I liked this reasoning for bringing back Captain Cold. Iris says, well, none of us are Master Thieves, so I guess that idea is out. Oh, wait a minute. I know a Master Thief.
Yes, I do.
Yep.
But that's the thing, Tony. That's the thing. And they acknowledge it for a hot second, but that's it. Barry goes back in time again.
Yes. I didn't mind that at all, is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, I'm glad it happened for no other reason than as much Captain Cold as we can put in the show, the happier I am.
Right.
But didn't we spend like a huge chunk of this season going, this is why you cannot travel back in time anytime you want to fix something?
But I think to get technical, we said you can't go back and change time. He did that same thing of, I'm going to pick him up from this time point, I'm going to drop him right back off, I just need your help for a few hours.
I guess there's a part of me that looked at it and went, you got lucky this time, Barry.
Yeah.
But seriously, we spent half the season dealing with what, like every speedster out there going, seriously, don't do this.
Yeah.
Seriously, stop going back in time.
No, I agree with you. I looked at it in that he wasn't trying to change time, which every other time we've had problems, it's because he's tried to change time.
Well, but not always. Like, even the first time he traveled back in time, and admittedly it was the first time, he didn't intend to change anything, but things happen.
You're right, yeah. Fair enough. So, yeah, it was. And, you know, it was funny because on the CCU page on Facebook, which, if you're not on there, gentle listeners, I would encourage you to join because it's really fun. There's so much good commentary on there and theories and feedback. And during the episode, lots of live chat. And I didn't get to watch live this week, Joe, but I had a great time Wednesday morning watching the episode and then going and reading the whole Facebook comment section for the episode. So many good thoughts. It was great.
Yeah.
But one of the things was, how do you know where to find him? He's dead. How do you know where? And I think that's a good question. I chalked it up to the same way he finds anything when he enters the Speed Force. You go into the Speed Force and you concentrate real hard and you get where you're going.
Right.
And that's been the sort of hand-wavy explanation of how do I find where they are? Just think about them.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's the ruby slippers. Right.
Exactly.
Right? There's no place like cold. There's no place like cold.
There's no place like Snart in 1892. There's no place like Snart in 1892. but I did like this way of getting Snart back. And it's funny because one of the other big things that was talked about on Facebook and Twitter, and literally I think everyone who watched the show went, okay, now let's stop and think for a minute. What if we just hid Iris in this super fortified place that doesn't allow superpowers? I'm waiting to think for a minute. Hey, Lila, you've got this big thing. Oh, wait, do you also have a room I could just put my fiance in for, like,
right?
A, I mean,
doesn't even need to have cable. Just put her in
right? there. They still would have to solve, you know, how do you solve?
How do you solve a problem like Savitar?
Thank you. And they would still have to solve it, but at least she would be partially protected.
Right?
So, yes, that was one of those hand-wavy, oh, nobody thought of that. That's too bad.
Wah, 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 wah.
Right? But they make a plan. Barry says, somebody take her away, so I don't know where she is, so Savitar won't know where she is. And then we sort of got this side series of scenes with Joe and Wally taking Iris to Earth 2, which
right.
I really liked.
What a great idea. And again, Barry's the whole thing of like, just don't tell me what you're doing. Whatever your plan is, don't tell me.
Right.
And yeah, I thought that was a fantastic idea.
I did too. And in fact, there was a part of me that went, oh man, don't stop there. Go to Earth 38. Go to someplace that is even less predictable by Savitar, right? But even then, I still liked that they were just going, let's take her to someplace else that we think is pretty fortified and safe. And I really loved the scenes between Joe and Iris over there.
Oh, so good. I mean, good.
Just really...
He went on a blues cruise.
He went on a blues cruise. There's, you know, now, in as they're sharing memories and things, I'm going to put a bookmark in this part of our discussion because it's this discussion between them, I think, that really proves that up to this point in the episode, nobody else is transmogrified into Iris.
Yes, at this point, no.
Right?
And there's some, you know, really, really lovely touching stuff. But yeah, you're right. I don't think the big switcheroo has happened yet.
Correct. Now, I will throw out there the one theory that says the big switcheroo could have happened between the touching, beautiful scenes of Iris and Joe and Savitar showing up on Earth too.
I just don't know.
I don't know either. I'm less... thinking that it's that, and we'll get back into that at the end when we go into theories, right?
Right.
Yes, yes, yes.
But one of the things I loved, and we jumped over it, but I want to talk about it first. I loved seeing Snart interact with Team Flash again.
Mm-hmm.
And even Cisco acknowledging, he did.
Right. And I liked a lot how they didn't acknowledge that with him, like he couldn't.
Nope.
And all the way through the episode at the end when Barry was saying goodbye to him, I really just went, Barry knows he's dead. He can't tell him. You know, he's not changing the future. He's not telling him, warning him, any of that. But their little final parting, I expect Captain Cold to come back next season. But if he doesn't, that little final parting was a beautiful send-off for the character.
It was. It's just, it's not the Flash universe without Captain Cold.
Agreed.
It's just not. And Wentworth Miller is so freaking good in this role.
Right.
All of the bantering.
He's a fan favorite.
He's so good and he's so funny. And like he really got to express his comic chops this episode.
Yeah.
A particular favorite, and I know we're not there yet, but I have to say it so I don't forget this line. Cisco, if you save me, I'll put in a good word with my sister.
Right. That was great.
Straight up laughed out loud.
Right.
That was hysterical.
Fun. Again, fun character moments. Like,
right?
Oh, callbacks to last season. I like it.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And we also get a moment where we get a little bit of understanding as to why Savitar is murdering Iris.
Yeah, that moment between Killer Frost and Savitar was,
yep.
I thought, really nice.
And important. Like, I think we'd all largely come to this basic clue, but it was nice to actually hear it.
Right.
Right? Where he flat out says, like, I have to kill her or I don't come into existence.
Yeah.
You know, it finally kind of puts the pin on that and says, yes, now we know why he's doing what he's doing.
Sure. And of course, I mean, everyone is going to have differing opinions as to whether or not, you know, whiny, no one likes me is enough of a reason to go on a, you know, murderous rampage. But it was for this guy, right?
Right. Well, and it makes sense. I mean, it is this horrible event that directly leads to him being created. So he has to make it happen.
Sure. Now, in that sequence that you're talking about, too, it's interesting because I don't know what's up with Killer Frost in that.
Yeah, you know? She sure did seem to be trying to kind of put some cracks in Savitar's armor, didn't she?
Right. That whole, is she a double agent? I don't know. If she is, why is she still having that battle with Sisko at the end? Or is she simply having some second thoughts but going along with the plan? Because she's afraid to break from it, because she doesn't want to become Caitlin again.
Right.
I don't know, but I have a feeling that in the wrap-up of getting rid of Savitar, Killer Frost coming back to having some kind of conscience is going to play a big part in that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so much that's going to be revealed next week, I think.
Yeah, it's funny. I was thinking about that. I wonder how much is going to be revealed next week. I wonder, because I remember reading an article that said this season ends on a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Right.
Which makes me wonder how much is actually going to be solved next week. I don't know.
I don't know.
But I wish it was Tuesday.
No, I know. I hear you. So, yes, Barry and Captain Cold begin working on a plan, which, interestingly enough, I loved the little moment when Savitar got the flash vision of Barry working with Captain Cold and kind of going, I see what you're doing, Barry.
That was a neat moment of him updating his memory.
Right.
Yep.
Which I think indicates, I could be wrong, Tony, but I think that does indicate, and we see moments, especially in the final moments of this episode, where the vision that Barry saw of the future earlier this season has changed.
Correct, yeah.
Well, and I think that was one of those moments where Savitar was like, oh, that's not how it happened last time.
Right.
Interesting.
That's new. Yeah, because at the end, this time, Joe was on the roof with a rifle.
He sure was.
Which was.
He sure was.
Absolutely not what happened before. But which also lends credence to one of the transmogrification switch-out theories, right?
Right.
We'll get into that.
So many theories.
I love that I just used the phrase transmogrification switch out theory. Yep, that's a thing, people. That's where we are.
Make peace with that.
Explain nothing. That's awesome.
So, yes, we're dealing with the fact that they have to bust into Argus, which is the unbustinable.
Right.
Right? It can't be done. And they come up with a pretty cool plan using the transmogrifier.
The face-shifting transmogrifier from Earth 19 that H.R. Wells has. Now, that does bring up, we still have not at all dealt with the fact that, does H.R. look like Harrison Wells to Tracy Brand? He must.
I'm assuming?
He can't have been hiding his face, but then that means he's walking around with Harrison Wells' face. And so the rest of the world has just forgotten that Harrison Wells was wanted for murder, right?
Well, what we're not seeing is when he goes out to get coffee and stuff, he's got Groucho Marx glasses.
That probably solves it.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Funny. Yes, so they use this thing. Lila returns immediately with Captain Cold. You know, we get a little scene at Argus where she's leaving.
Right.
And seconds later, she comes back in with Captain Cold. And, of course, it's Barry in disguise. It was funny. Somebody on Facebook pointed out, does the transmogrifier also give you martial arts skills?
Right.
Since when are those moves that Lila used, that was actually Barry, that Barry used, since when is that a thing that Barry can do? He's real fast, but I don't remember him being a kung fu master.
You know, a lot of things can happen in a couple minutes.
Explain nothing.
Yeah. You know, yeah, when we see Captain Cold put the smack down, we get it. Except he did. I loved that moment. What were you doing? Magic.
Click. Handcuffs off.
Right. Oh, Leonard Snark, because that's really what his name should be. Leonard Snark.
True. Funny. Then the two of them make their way down. There were surprisingly few guards in a place as heavily fortified as Argus.
Right? Especially considering the sheer volume of supervillains there, but whatever. But, well, and that led me to something I wanted to ask you, Tony, because you will know this better than I. Has Cheetah showed up on any of the other shows yet? Or was this the first reference to Cheetah?
No, I believe this is the first reference to Cheetah. And the thing that makes that fun is that, of course, Cheetah is primarily a Wonder Woman villain.
She is, but, comic book factoid, she has a cool brief arc in the Geoff Johns run of The Flash, in which she tracks down and frees Hunter Zolomon Zoom so he can teach her how to have super speed.
Oh, I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, it's really, really interesting. And it's only like two episodes, and it ends up being, yeah, Zoom and Cheetah versus Nightwing and The Flash.
Oh, fun. Cool.
It's super cool.
She, yeah, so the Cheetah is also a Batman Nightwing villain, yep. But is primarily known, I think, as...
She's one of the big bads of Wonder Woman.
Right. And so I loved that little, with the Wonder Woman movie coming out in just a few weeks, I loved that little, hey, here's a thing.
Right.
I thought that was fun.
Yeah, that's exciting. She's one of the great classic DC villains.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, I don't believe she's showed up on Supergirl or Arrow, but anybody out there who has other info, feel free to let us know.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah. So I loved the whole sequence of Barry and Snart going down into the bowels of Argus to steal the thing.
Right. Well, and I love, like, you know, we're lucky that Snart was right on this one, but it was based on virtually no information. His whole, like, it's probably in the lowest level because it's the most secure.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I'm glad that worked out for you guys, but that's not a ton of info to go on. Right.
But to be honest, you know, it's only 44 minutes, and if we spend 20 of them right. wandering around Argus, it's not entertaining.
You're not wrong.
So they get down there, and I love that that's where Cupid and Grodd are and all the rest of the villains and Cheetah.
Well, and we get Cold gives Flash a little snark that I think represents a large part the theme of the episode. No, it's not. Flash says it. Barry says it. As he's walking down, he talks about Grodd, and he's like, you know, yeah, we saved his life so that he could go to another world and come and try and conquer our world. That's what mercy gets you.
Right.
It's like, oh, Barry.
Yeah. But I loved that. In this whole exchange with him and Snart, I love that Snart was the one going, remember who you are.
Right.
Right? Because a little while later, he gives Barry grief about getting all murdery.
Right.
You know, when they're trying, they discover King Shark. I love Snart's. I've seen a lot of stuff.
Half man, half shark?
That's new. Like, really good. I also loved that Barry's talking to Cisco about the magic door, and it does this, it does that, it costs $10 million. And in the background, Snart's just fiddle, click, right. Dink, boom. 37 seconds.
I must be losing my touch.
So great.
Again, this is why we bring Snart along. This is what Snart does for a living.
Right? Well, and that's it, exactly. Like, he's there, he's just in getting them this far, he's now proven that it was a good idea to bring him, you know?
Yep.
Really funny. And I loved, there's four things you got to remember. Make a plan, execute the plan, expect the plan to go off the rails, make a new plan.
New plan. Yep.
So good. And they have that little discussion when they see King Shark. And it's at that point that I love Barry. He's just getting desperate. And he says, all right, give me the gun.
Yep.
I'm just going to kill him. I mean, he doesn't say it, but Snart knows that's what he's going to do. And Snart talks him out of it.
Yep.
Which I thought was a wonderful sort of role reversal between the two.
It's, again, and it harkens back so much to the comics, especially like when Wally was the Flash, but Barry as well. Like, this is not a straight up hero nemesis relationship.
Right.
Right. There is something that almost teeters on friendship between them.
Right. A definite respect.
Yes, absolutely. And I love that how much they are embracing that in this show. And yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah, Snart takes the, I don't know, cold component
the
out of his
component,
gun.
The cold component, for sure. Well, one of my favorite moments was him going, you know, I watch a lot of Shark Week.
Because I'm not going to lie, also a big fan of Shark Week myself. It's awesome.
I love that he's just lays out, if we just get it cold in there, we don't really have to get all murdery. Let's just put him to sleep. Hilarious little.
I'm curious as to how he knew that King Shark was part great white.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. It's
fine. He watches Shark Week. He saw him through the window.
Right. You know, maybe this year I missed it. Maybe this year they had supervillain sharks.
It could be. And he takes out the thing, slides it under the door. How great was the Jaws?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
In the mist?
In the mist being the water, it fills the room. And then Snart gives us the best line of the episode that was directly from the writers to us.
Yep.
You know, in Jaws, they didn't show the shark a lot because they couldn't afford to make it look good. Like, it was a moment where the two of them could have just stopped and looked at the camera, looked back to each other, and kept going. It was so great.
It was so good. So many laugh-out-loud moments.
Right?
So, yes, they sneak in to steal the alien technology. And it looks like they're going to get off scot-free, right?
Right. Except I have to acknowledge the Finn coming up out of the fog.
So good.
Because in the middle of this tense thing, there's a complete Jaws moment. What? I loved it.
And they both froze, too, right? Like,
Right.
Right. That moment of, don't forget, you're in here with a 12-foot shark man.
Right. 12-foot shark man. And they get there. Barry grabs the thing. And, of course, the second he lifts it out of there,
alarms go off.
The doors start to close. Barry, even though he doesn't have super speed, is a little faster than Snart and gets out under the door.
He's younger.
And Snart gets trapped.
He does, leading to some, like, right, because we don't get to see Snart like this very often. We don't get to see panic, not in control Snart very often.
Yep.
And that was probably my favorite line of the episode. Cisco, if you get me out of this, I will put in a good word for my sister.
Yep. Sometimes you got to make the hard call, Barry. He's looking at him going, what are you going to do? And this was the moment that saved Barry in terms of Lila.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Because he can't leave his comrade in arms behind.
Right. Because he could have.
Oh, totally could have. And probably would have gotten away a lot easier.
Right. Well, and Barry knows that Snart's destined to die soon anyway.
Yeah.
Right. And for all those reasons, he could have just ran away. But he does the right thing. And there were a couple moments in this episode where being the hero means do the right thing whenever you can. Whenever there's a choice, do the right thing. And Lila, we find out later, is watching all of this on the CCTV. And, you know, as soon as they got word that weird things were happening, she came back from wherever she was going. Right?
Right.
And we get to see Barry make the decision. I'm staying here. I can't let him go. I can't let him die that way. Cisco, open the door. And they start trying to get Snart out. That was pretty great.
And it also, that freeing of Snart also taught us that King Shark had a power I didn't realize he had.
I didn't either.
That, you know, so as they, you know, as Snart is crawling out, we see the great big hand grab his leg.
Right.
There was a part of me, like, watching Barry pull against him. I was like, wow, King Shark better be pretty weakened by that because his one arm is bigger than Barry.
It's right? still
really
cold in there.
I feel like this
is
not a tug of war competition Barry could win.
Yeah, exactly. It's still really cold in there. That's what I chalked
right.
that up.
That was mine too. I was like, he's drowsy. He's drowsy.
I did. I did also the frame of reference or the what's the word I want? The size of King Shark seems to change episode to episode.
Quiet, you. You're totally right.
Wasn't he like bigger than a one of those giant tanker container things?
At one point, let us not forget, he was tall enough at one point to rip part of the roof off of a house.
Right. So maybe he just hasn't been eating well and he's shrunk a little bit.
Right. A little malnourished.
Right. Argus has him on a very minimizing diet.
Right. He's only been eating really skinny people.
Anyway, they managed to use the door to cut off his hand and free Snart. That was pretty awesome.
Right.
And then we get to see him regenerate a hand in about a second and a half.
Right? Who knew?
I don't remember that. Does anybody out there remember that happening before?
Not I. And of course, it's like, oh, guess what? Turns out King Shark is even more dangerous than we thought because he can freaking regenerate.
Right. Yeah, that is. That's true. I don't remember that happening before. But it was nice because we had to show that Barry and Snart weren't complete monsters. You know, you're like, oh, he's going to be okay. I mean, he's a supervillain who's deadly and tries to eat people, but at least he's got both his hands back. Phew, that could, you know.
My first thought was, are they going to give him a harpoon hand like Aquaman had?
Oh, right. Nope, he just grew another one.
All right, fine.
So then just as they think they're going to get away, turns out there's Lila with a couple dozen security guys.
What? Sneaking out of the heavily guarded Argus was going to be difficult?
Right. Sneaking in wasn't that hard.
Right.
Know, maybe they were all on break. Or maybe as soon as things started going weird, she told them all just, let's follow them and see what happens.
Yeah. You
know, maybe they kept them under watch the whole time.
Right. It's entirely possible.
Yeah. So what
it allows
next?
Lila to realize that Barry is a good enough person to let him temporarily borrow the alien power source.
Right. Well, I think that she also is reminded that sometimes, despite having a government job that's dark and creepy, she doesn't want to be Amanda Waller. She wants to do the right thing when you should do the right thing.
And she even acknowledged, she's like, I know you would do the same thing if John was in trouble.
Right. I can't hold on to this knowing that Iris is going to die.
Right.
So here, be good and bring it back when you're done.
I actually had a secret hope that she was going to arrest Snart and that was going to allow that time remnant of Snart to stay in our reality.
Oh, interesting. Except then he would disappear from Legends of Tomorrow, start in the middle of season one, wouldn't he?
Oh, damn it.
Anyway, they then are given the thing. Meanwhile, while all this is going on, I can't even remember. I just have it in my notes here that the HR and Tracy proposal moment was happening, where he basically proposes to her, not marriage, but joining Team Flash.
Right? So cute.
Yeah, I like those guys. I still really like her sort of mad scientist ways because she's super focused on the whatever the clear board is, and she's working on how do I get this thing to work? How do I solve it? How do I do it with less power? Whatever she was working on. Very focused and scientific. And then he comes in with coffee, and she just goes blithering, like, oh, hey, I did coffee. Oh, and not raspberry and coriander. I love, you know, their relationship is really funny.
They're nerds of a feather, man. It's adorable. Super cute.
I have to say also, I did a little research, and I cannot find a recipe for coffee with raspberry and coriander.
Yeah.
I found a cookie recipe that's raspberry and coriander, Joe.
I'm not a coffee drinker.
No, but if you want to make cookies, I could send you this recipe.
I do like cookies.
If anybody else finds a coffee with raspberry and coriander, I'm a big coffee guy, Joe, so I'm looking forward to somebody coming up with a recipe for that. Or maybe just bringing me some coffee with raspberry and coriander.
Look, we're not picky.
No, I'll be around.
Right? But I love jumping from that. We then go to, we see Harry so happy, so great. And then we see Harry's biggest mistake.
Oh,
and this was one of my favorite parts of the episode because it surprised even me.
Yes, me too.
So, Barry rushes back into Star Lab saying, hey, we've got the equipment. Everything's groovy. And Harry blurts out, great, we've got, she's over on Earth too. She's totally safe. And then Barry turns around.
And it's not our Barry.
Nope.
Yep.
Big scarred face.
That was a big surprise to me too. It did bring up one question. Where did he get that suit?
You know, his armored suit is big. Like there is room for storage capacity.
Pockets, it's like the TARDIS. There's just rooms in there.
Right. Well, look, I mean, you know, Barry Allen's not a big guy and that suit is enormous.
All right. I'll give that to you.
There you go. There you go. And yes, they realize that they have just handed Savitar the key information they were trying to keep from him.
Yes.
And Savitar then proceeds to, you know, portal over to Earth 2 and all HELL hockey sticks breaks loose.
Yeah, I loved Wally doing the best he could.
Yeah, what did he do? Did he break his kneecap?
Savitar, yeah, shattered his knee or his leg.
Oh. That looked painful.
Yes. Yeah, it really did. And I loved that Joe and Harry both, you know, had weapons on him, and he just was so calm and just said, if you point that gun at me, I'll kill you. And right. Harry lowered it. But then, and this is one of the reasons I love Harry. Even though he put that gun down, he's slowly pulling the other one out from his waistband behind his back. Like, yeah, feel free. Give me an ultimatum. I'm going to do it anyway. I loved that.
Well, I'll tell you, like, as much as HR has grown on me, this episode reminded me how much I love / miss Harry.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
But yeah, and that great moment with Joe, you used to be my son.
Yep.
And
he called him Barry. That's not my name.
Well, what I love is, you know, and we saw it from Caitlin, we saw it from Joe. There's no reasoning with this Barry. Right?
Yeah.
You know, and to be honest, this whole thing of like, look, you guys created me to be a disposable hero. Like, I know what I am.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, he's completely nuts and I would never justify his action, but I could see why that would leave a sizable chip on one's shoulder.
Sure. Well, and he's snapped. He's decided he's not going to be that. He's going to make something more of himself. And rather than, you know, I'm going to get a good job and be another superhero, it's I'm going to become a god and eliminate anyone who's a threat to me, you know?
Yep.
And that's a long way to go, but he's not mentally well.
Tony, it's the classic Will Riker, Tom Riker scenario.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you with the Star Trek references.
Bam!
Woo!
You like that?
That's pretty funny. So he winds up taking her.
Yep.
Barry gets there just a beat too late. They're gone. And now they know we have to do the final scene on Infantino Street. We have to play this out. We have to win.
It's the final countdown. Like, yeah, that's... And I love that moment as they're all getting ready to go where he is like, look, you guys come up with your plan. Don't tell me what it is.
Right. Yep.
Which obviously is also a really fun thing for we as the audience. Like what Barry doesn't know, we don't know.
Yeah. And that's why I'm, you know, I think we all are going, sure, somebody, I think HR somehow got in there. And I don't know if this was anybody's plan or if HR just did it. But
I'll tell you, that scene between Sisko and HR just broke my heart.
It was pretty beautiful.
Pretty great. You know, we really see that Sisko has really embraced HR as part of the team.
And
we
also, see, go ahead.
And HR voices what all of us have kind of been saying from the jump, which is like, you know, yeah, what do I have to offer outside of some, you know, middlingly passable drumming?
Right. And I think... A lot of that was his grief and regret because
yes.
I think Sisko said it, you know,
show up.
Yeah, he shows up. He does inspire. He does think out of the box. He's a cheerleader. He's an energy that supports the team and that's useful. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's what we've come to realize halfway through the season. Because for a long time, I think we all were like, how long is this guy sticking around?
Right.
But then we wound up liking him.
Well, and I'll tell you, when they're saying their little goodbyes to each other, correct if I'm wrong, I believe what Harry says is, until next time.
Yes.
Which really sounds like, to me, like someone is jumping into the jaws of the shark, as it were.
Right, absolutely. Well, and I'll tell you, that scene also reminded us how great an actor Tom Cavanaugh is, because it's been a long time since we've had this, since we've seen HR or Harry have a moment like that.
Right.
Of, it was just beautifully done. The question I have, Joe, for you is, at the end of that scene, as Sisko's leaving, HR looks down at the desk and he doesn't look at his transmogrifier. He looks at the chunk of armor
that
Jesse Quick ripped off of Savitar, right? The one that she did damaged his suit with. Does that mean anything?
It must. It must.
Right? I don't know what yet, but it must mean something.
I'm curious to see what it means, but it meant something. I feel very confident on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go to Infantino Street. Well, we try to go to Infantino Street. On the way, Sisko gets a vibe that Caitlin's in the woods. And this was another moment for me of Barry being the hero.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I wanted to go, let her be in the woods. So what? Go to right. Infantino Street. All hands on deck. You know, this was a moment that I think was really strong and really important because Barry knew I cannot put Iris's life over Caitlin's.
Right.
They are both members of our family. You go save that one. I will go save this one. We can't sacrifice her.
The more we see this Barry, the happier I am.
Yeah. I really liked that moment of you have to go. You have to save her. Right? Bring
yes.
her back to us. I just thought that was a beautifully done moment and really important.
Well, and, you know, as the Cisco and Caitlin, you know, the final showdown draws to us, I am still convinced there is more going on with Caitlin than we think.
Some kind of, double agent?
I don't know. There's a part of me that wonders if Killer Frost is playing all sides against each other so that whichever side wins, she wins.
It might not be as simple as straight up double agent.
Right.
It might be more complicated than that. You're absolutely right that Killer Frost and Caitlin are still warring inside her, or Killer Frost really is playing a game, or who knows? I can't wait to find out.
Well, that scene also gave us our first glimpse as to what she's getting from Savitar, right? She says that line about, if I'm going to become a god with him.
Right.
It's like, oh, now we're starting to get a little sense as to why she's working with Savitar.
Yeah, if he's promised her to, you know, make her a god with him, however that happens.
Right.
And again, we still don't even know because a couple episodes ago, one or two episodes ago, he told us there's something else he needs, but he's not going to tell us what it is. So there's some plan that he's got that we still don't even know.
I think what he needs is a hug.
I think he does, but I don't think that's going to do it.
Maybe not.
Mm. So,
back to the big moment, right?
Back to the big moment.
Savitar shows up with Iris.
And we see Tracy Brand in the van, in the surveillance van out there. She's, you know, working on the whatever diagnostic remote right. connection to the Speed Force bazooka.
Please work, please work, please work.
Right? I loved that. And Barry shows up. We know where we are because we hear the news thing in the bus stop giving the same headlines.
Yes.
He gets there and they show up. Savitar arrives with Iris, but it changes immediately.
Yep, yep. We get, some new dialogue. Please go ahead, Tony, because I'm very excited.
No, I was just going to say we got a new dialogue. We get a little bit of discussion between them. We get a little explanation from Savitar. And then Barry pulls out the Speed Force bazooka and is like, I'm not letting you win. And
right.
starts firing away at him.
Right. Ghostbuster looking action ensues as he's, you know.
It kind of was.
It really was. And he finally manages to hit Savitar, right? Savitar is running around back and forth, and he finally manages to blast Savitar. And it looks like it's working.
Right? For a minute, we think, oh, this is how they do it. I mean, I think that was a great moment because we, all of us, I think, thought it actually works and this is how it ends. And then, nope, not a chance.
Turns out the Philosopher's Stone, remember that thing?
Yeah.
The Philosopher's Stone, which he still has with him because Barry threw it into the Speed Force.
Right.
The stone itself is calcified Speed Force. And he, that great speech was like, you know, I spent an eternity trapped in that prison. You think I wouldn't come up with a way to not let that happen again?
Right.
And he somehow used the stone to keep him anchored in the world instead of the Speed Force.
And is that what he said? Calcified? I couldn't remember the word he used.
Calcified Speed Force.
Okay. I had like several words written down in my notes. Concentrated? Calcified?
He said calcified.
Yeah, I'm sure he...
Well. Which I think just means the Speed Force has like water stains on it.
Right. Exactly. So he's made a box out of basically Speed Force energy and uses it to gather or protect himself from whatever the Speed Force bazooka is supposed to be doing.
Yep.
And the bazooka doesn't work.
Nope.
He drops the box, picks up Iris, and kills her.
Stabby, stab, stab.
I was shocked.
Couldn't believe it.
I was really surprised that they did that. But I'll tell you, that moment, the direction and cinematography and editing, the whole moment of her being stabbed and him running toward her that we've seen over and over this season, having her recorded wedding vows in there, I thought that was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
Now, I will not argue, because I've seen it said by members of the CCU and elsewhere, that maybe Iris should have been a little more proactive in trying to save herself over the last few episodes.
Mayhap.
Certainly the character could have been written that way, and I would not have complained. But I also don't know off the top of my head what she might have done. You know, sure, maybe she would have, I'm getting on a plane, I'm going somewhere else, I'm going away, I'm not telling you, I'm leaving, right? Something. But is that the life she wants, or does she want to be with these guys and help them solve it? And the thing that it seems to me happened with the character was she did sort of accept it. If these guys can't solve it, no one can.
Yeah.
And she really made it about them. She wanted to make sure her dad was taken care of. She wanted to make sure Barry was okay.
Yeah.
And I love that part of the character.
Well, it seems so true to who she is, you know, like
sure.
She's a nurturer. She takes care of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It worked for me. It really did.
I thought that moment of, you know, interspersing her dying and Barry running towards them, knowing he's not going to make it, because we've seen him not make it all season. Right.
Right.
And her wedding vows that she recorded at the beginning of that day to him, I thought that was a beautiful, touching moment. I got choked up at that moment. It was really
great. Yeah. Well, combining that with bringing back the song from the beginning of the episode, like there was a moment where I felt like the directors were like going through songs. They're like, it's sad, but we need something like 35% sadder.
Right. How about this one? Ah, there you go.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sobbing. so good.
Yeah, absolutely. So that ends the episode. What happens next, Joe?
Well, that's largely the end. I mean, the only thing we didn't talk about is I loved the final goodbye between Flash and Snart.
Yeah, that happened a little earlier.
Yep. That, in particular, that line of maybe that's why we work so well together. I see, you see the good in me and I see the bad in you.
Yeah.
It's like they do have this little, they do have a little friendship.
Well, and I wrote down in my notes too, Snart's last line was a repeat of the
yep.
one he had when he died in Legends of Tomorrow. No strings on me, right?
Yep, that was his final line before explosion.
Yeah, and so I don't know what that means, but I thought it was an interesting callback. Yeah. And yeah, how we see him again, I'm with you. I fully expect to. But that was a great moment between the two of them. I agree. I really liked it.
So good.
So, Joe, I don't think Iris is really staying dead.
No, nor do I.
Theories on how?
You know, I'm not positive. I'm sure they will explain it in some way that both satisfies me and feels hand-wavy. I think it's HR. I really think HR is the one who took the spear.
I'm leaning that way. I think he's got the transmogrifier thing. And here's my theory. And I saw versions of this online, and I picked the one I liked the best from the CCU page. I think he did decide that in his grief, and he knew he was the one who put her in harm's way. He gave away the info.
Yep.
I think he went there with the team. I think he had the transmogrifier. And I think the minute Savitar dropped her and Barry started shooting him with the bazooka, right, the Speed Force bazooka, and there's a whole little chase scene that takes 20 or 30 seconds.
Yep.
I think during that, he grabbed Iris, knocked her out, shoved her behind a bush, transmogrified himself into Iris, and took her place.
You know, because there's a part of me that's like, maybe it's all the years of watching Joss Whedon, where it's like, look how happy he and Tracy are dead.
Absolutely.
And the reintroduction of Harry.
Right.
Which made almost to me felt like the writers going, yes, guys, we're going to kill HR, but don't worry, Harry will be back.
Well, and also whether Harry comes back in that form or not, the invitation for Tracy Brand to join the team was pretty much, hey, you guys, she's going to be a regular next season.
Yeah, right? I agree completely.
I really felt, and maybe not, maybe if HR is dead, maybe in her grief, she goes away. Who knows? But that to me felt like, oh, we're going to see a lot more of her.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm with you right now. I think it's HR.
Yeah.
Who's been killed. I will say the other theories that I've seen around that I like are, what if it's Julian? Because we didn't see him all episode.
Right.
I don't know how that could happen.
Nope. But, you know, hard to say.
All right. I mean, I feel like he's off.
Trying to cure Caitlin.
Well, trying to cure Caitlin, nursing his wounds because she just told him she never loved him.
I just don't know.
I don't know. I also feel like that somehow it could also be Joe.
Yeah.
Because I feel like after the beautiful scene between Joe and Iris, where they were singing and sharing secrets, confessions, things, Joe could have convinced her to switch places and use transmogrifying things and make her into him and him into her. I guess you'd need two of those for that. I don't know if we have two. I don't know. But if that's the case, then when Savitar showed up on Earth 2, the whole scene was them play acting. Yeah. And Joe had convinced her, I will find a way out of it. Barry will find a way out of it. He's got the thing he needs. Well, I'm just keeping you out of harm's way. Let me be there. Right? Let me be in your place so I can kill Savitar with Barry. And maybe Iris went along with it. The problem I have with that is I don't see Iris going along with that plan.
No. No, I feel like whatever happened was not something that Iris realized was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm leaning more toward that way too because I don't see that character as agreeing to sacrifice somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, in her place or put somebody else in harm's way. Yeah. I don't know. Or maybe she's dead. But again, it's like you said about Captain Cold. I don't see this show happening without Iris West.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
But when it comes to theories, I think those theories could lead us nicely into some feedback.
I think they could because we got a little bit this week, Joe.
Yeah, just a couple. Just a couple. I feel a moral obligation to read the one from a fellow Joe.
I think you should read that right now.
I think so, too. A fellow Joe goes on to say, I believe that Barry will remember what Snart said about plans. Make the plan. Barry makes a plan to save Iris using the Speed Force bazooka. Execute the plan. Uses the bazooka to try and save her. Expect the plan to go off the rails. The bazooka fails and Iris is killed. Throw away the plan. Barry goes back in time and halts the progress of the bazooka, telling everyone that it failed.
Interesting.
Right? Am I the only one who thought that the whole plan with Savitar felt a lot like the Arrow crossover where they tried to take down Vandal Savage? Oh, I didn't think about that, but I see where you're going. It was, you know, decidedly less Malcolm Merlyn, but I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wentworth Miller was amazing as always. Hope he put in that good word for Cisco saving his life, right? Come on. I give this episode 9.8 out of 10 well-timed snarky comebacks from Captain Cold.
The snart snark.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Thank you. Great feedback, other Joe.
Yes, fellow Joe. We're all Joe. Equal in Jodom.
Joe, we got feedback from Siobhan, who says, hey, guys, first off, I want to say you have a great podcast. I listen to you every week at work to pass the time and keep my theories flowing. I've been listening to you for a while, but this episode brought me out of the darkness. I had to offer some feedback. Well, thank you for that. I'm glad you did. Thank you. I'll be honest, this episode was a snooze fest for me for the first 45 minutes. I love Wentworth, but there was a lot of fluff and wasted time, no? I was checking the clock like, is anything going to get my heart racing soon? I think HR yearns to be a hero of heroes like what he commended Barry for. When I first saw Barry use a face changer to get into Argus, I thought all bets were off the table for HR using it because twice in one episode seemed like overkill, but I think the writers had Barry use it to refresh the average viewer's memory that it even existed. It's been quite some time since we first saw HR use it. What do you think, Siobhan? Yeah, great feedback, Siobhan. And I agree. I think that's why it showed up.
Yeah,
right? I think it showed up to go, hey, remember this thing from episode 3 of the season or whatever it was that we haven't addressed since then? Right. Oh, this is coming into play. I totally agree. It's, you know, playwright Joe Chekhov's gun, right?
It is. It is. The idea of if we see a gun in Act 1, then it has to be fired in Act 2.
Right.
Yeah, I really do think... I think we saw several callbacks in this episode, and none of them were accidental.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, great feedback, Siobhan. I didn't think it was as much of a snooze fest for the first bit as you did, but I think because I loved the stuff between Snart and Barry.
Right. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah. But great, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I'm just at that point, Joe, where everything is going to make me go, I want Tuesday faster.
I know, and yet I don't. Right. It's complicated.
Joe, I'm going to read one more that we got from Sci-Fi Gene. Sci-Fi Gene, we haven't heard from you in a while. Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Hi, guys. I wanted to post something for weeks. However, I kept holding back because I was too busy, and we're sorry to hear about your grandma passing away. We're glad that you are back with us, and hopefully the Flash is a little balm for you right now.
Indeed.
He goes on to say, anyways, I think that either Flash will go back in time to save Iris, or Iris will switch with someone else that looks like her. On another thought, when Captain Cold patted the Flash on the shoulder, it made me wonder if he used that gesture to put some sort of nanotech device on the red suit. Also, why did Captain Cold recite the line that he's going to say in Legends of Tomorrow when he makes the ultimate sacrifice? Does he know his future fate? Maybe he plans to use Barry to help him avoid his fate? Oh. Interesting, Sci-Fi Gene. I don't know.
God, I hope so.
That would be really interesting to find out. Does he know that's going to happen and how and why? I don't know. I mean, maybe... Well, because he was... Oh, now we can start talking time travel stuff again. He was brought back and then put back in time again, right? On Legends.
Yeah, they made a time remnant.
Did he find out some kind of information about himself?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It'll be fascinating to see if that comes true, though, Gene. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, man, good thought.
Right?
All right. Joe, what's next?
We've got some feedback here from Kimby73, who goes on to say, all I can say is, wow, that was such an emotionally charged episode, I'm not sure where to begin. I was so confused when Iris asked Barry to get the caviar, then knew she was going to leave a sad message of goodbye. I loved and laughed at the relationship with HR and Tracy, right? They are too cute. I felt so bad for HR when he gave up Iris's location, but Cisco telling him that it could have been anyone was so awesome. HR really has grown on all of us. What pain I felt for Wally, who tried so hard to help and ended up hurt. Cisco having to fight Caitlin and not be there for Barry and Iris was just brutal. I cried my eyes out at the end when nothing worked and Iris still died, and then to hear her actual message was just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Watching Joe break down at the loss of his daughter, wow. Yeah, we didn't talk about that. That was another moment where I was like, I'm allergic to television. That's all it is.
Oh, right? Man, oh,
man. Oh, so brutal.
Yep. Yep.
How much can one family take? Please, I pray that someone switched bodies with her, or this just hasn't quite happened quite yet, and Barry dreamed that Savitar knew it all and will be more careful in the end. Okay, I know I am dreaming, but if that is true. Loved seeing Leonard Snart back, even if Barry had to break his own rule about time traveling. Savitar did say that if you do it enough, the rules don't apply. Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, yeah. Does that mean Barry is getting closer to becoming Savitar? I don't think that's good.
Right? What could go wrong? How come no one thought it was strange that Savitar didn't try and stop Barry and Snart from getting the piece of the Dominator tech? He obviously was going to remember getting help from Snart.
Yeah.
I think it's because he was waiting for them to get out so that he could trick everyone in telling him where Iris was, is my thought.
Well, and I think also because he had the Philosopher's Stone and said, well, okay, sure, do your thing. I got this.
Right, so I'm fine.
You can use that, you know, power source all you want. It's not going to stop you because I can counteract the effects of the bazooka.
Shazam.
Yeah. No, Shazam. That's another good character.
Right? Snart's advice to Barry was great. Just be yourself and not someone different.
His goodness will help him defeat Savitar. Yeah, that was a great, right? Savitar's rules.
Right? Your strength is your goodness. Stop playing by his rules. I don't know how that's coming into play, but I bet it will.
Yeah, that wasn't an accident. So the Philosopher's Stone comes back to haunt them yes again, this time in making the bazooka not work. So now what? Can't wait to see next week's episode and find out how we're going to stop Savitar, turn Killer Frost back, and hopefully see Iris alive. I don't know if they can do it all, but I look forward to them trying. So much of an amazing roller coaster of an episode. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the episode. Thank you, Kimby.
Yeah, great feedback, Kimby. You know, it's funny. The thing that Kimby just said just made me think, I wonder if Snart's advice to Barry is part of what made Barry tell Sisko to go save Catelyn.
Maybe.
In which case, could that really come back to help if Sisko winds up convincing Catelyn, or just being a good person and convincing her that it's worth being a good person, right? If that interaction with Sisko is what helps her to betray Savitar next week. Interesting.
Right.
So it could be that advice from Snart and Barry going, doing the right thing is always the best plan, right? Is that the thing that saves it? Oh, fascinating. I don't know. All right. Great feedback, Kimby. I do know, Joe, we got an audio feedback from Martin the Flash.
Hey, Joe and Tony. Martin here again. I forgot to finish off about how this week's episode ended. Iris dying. Why? Why didn't they save her? As I said, me and Patty were left speechless. And what I keep trying to remind people that I talk to the Flash about all season is that this is an alternate timeline. You remember way back when on the glass chalkboard there, Barry was explaining what happened at Flashpoint, that they were on this straight timeline, and then he went back in time to save his mom and created this new timeline, which now went diagonally across the board, not quite parallel. It was a new timeline. And he decided that he's not going to go back in time to try to change it again, that they should just stay on this timeline. And then he caught everybody up on what had happened in the previous timeline so that they could all be on the same page and be part of the team. And they agreed that they're just going to go along this time instead of him trying to screw things up again. So my point being, this is an alternate timeline. Everything is messed up. There's so many things that have been messed up all season long because of that. I think Barry's going to go back one more time yet again to try to fix things and get back onto that original straight timeline that we began with. And that's probably how he's going to save Iris. Because we know from the Flashpoint Paradox movie and the comics that he does eventually fix everything in the past and goes back to the original timeline. So that's why I think they're going to leave us hanging. Anyway, that's it. Flash out.
Thank you, Martin. Great feedback. Great theory, too.
Yeah.
The beginning of that sounds like Martin has left a bunch of feedback, because he did. And Martin, I'm playing this one, but thank you for the others as well. One of the things I love is when we have people who call and give us extra. I just wanted to chat about this. What do you guys think? I love it so much. And one, Joe, Martin is a big fan of Star Trek Enterprise and really yelled at you for not liking it. No, he yelled at both of us. I'm just kidding. I just made it about you. But
I refuse to apologize.
The Star Trek world is open to people to like different, have different favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. Deep Space Nine is my favorite.
Right. Mine too. I'm going to forgive Martin for saying that Enterprise was better than DS9. But I'm glad that you are a Star Trek fan no matter what. And yeah, that idea that he goes back in time again. What do you think, Joe?
You know, I honestly don't think they're going to go back to that well again. I think I totally understand where Martin's coming from, especially in regards to like the comic book line of it all.
Right.
But I think there's something that tells me if they recognize that no speedster for next season as the villain, I think they recognize that they have been doing variants on the same thing for 3 years.
Sure,
absolutely. It is time to change it up, and yeah. I don't think that they're going to go back in time.
I would be surprised if they did, but I think, Martin, you're absolutely right that it's definitely one of the things that's on the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll see, especially having watched her die this week, I think absolutely we could see him driven to that again.
Totally.
I don't know. I will agree with you, Joe. The watching the very end of this episode, I was struck by, I feel like we've seen in three seasons, Barry looking up at the sky, holding the body of a dead loved one, maybe a couple times too many.
Yep.
But, you know, again, it keeps the stakes high, and I'd much rather that than boring. But
no, absolutely.
You know, I do feel like it's not a well that they are going to go back to again, because I think they've heard the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great feedback, Martin. Thank you. Joe, what else do we got?
We've got a feedback here from Gary. Gary goes on to say, my good and bad list of this episode. Good. The montage showing us where the main cast was emotionally is a great way to start the show. It set up the trepidation felt by everyone on Team Flash except Julian. The Earth 2 scene between Joe and Iris was an intimate, tender, and bittersweet moment that shows how well the West family is cast.
Yeah.
It conveyed what is really at stake more so than yet another repeat of Iris being impaled. HR's proposal to Tracy was cute. Captain Cold serving as Barry's conscience was perfect. It forced their relationship into unique directions that only makes us regret that Snart is dead. Could not agree more.
Absolutely true.
Iris's recorded wedding vows were another tearjerker moment. She really nailed the performance of that. In fact, there were some intriguing acting choices from almost every member of the cast. It showed us how capable this crew is if given the right material. Agreed. Now for his bad. Bad! Julian was nowhere to be found and no one seemed to register his absence. Correct. Tracy is silly and sweet, but needs to be more credible as a scientist, too. This is yet another episode with her being shown as the apple of HR's eye and not physically working on the bazooka. Why can't she pick up a wrench or something? I feel they're leaning too much in the direction of comedy. It has the potential of undercutting her from being seen as a genius. I don't know. I didn't need to see her working on the bazooka because the bazooka was there, and I know no one else built it.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, we also did in that moment where he came in, like with the coffee stuff. I think I talked about it earlier. I liked watching her be lost at the board, trying to figure out how to fix it, you know? So I think we saw some of those moments, but I do agree. They've leaned heavily on the mad scientist sort of eccentric version of her up to this point. But I think there were some moments that counteracted that. Like when she was in the van with the remote control, needing the thing to work and hoping that it would.
Right.
But yeah, they have gone a lot of comedy with the two of them up to this point. Yeah.
Number three, did anyone buy Lila refusing to give Barry the Dominator device only to give him the Dominator device later? Did she need to see him save Snart to believe that Barry is a hero? Then what was the purpose of the heist episode where the thing you wanted to steal is just given to you? Yeah, if you were wondering if anyone bought it, Tony and I bought it.
But like I said, I know there were a lot of people who were like, why? And I also get that because that was the most plot device-y moment of the episode for me was that, you know, it was convenient for her to just stick around and change her mind. Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely. Number four, the transmogrifier goes from being an Earth 19 device that changes the appearance of your face to one that changes the appearance of your face, body, voice, gender, and clothing. What an upgrade. Now, to be fair, Gary, we only saw them use it once or twice, and they gave it we don't know what the settings on this thing are. It could be way more powerful than we think it is. We don't know. They never said.
That's so funny. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But you're right. The first time we saw it, it was like just a little hologram over his face. And then suddenly Barry's complete shape and everything. And it gave him kung fu skills. So
look, a lot of technological devices have multiple settings. That's all I'm saying.
That one's got to adjust whole body and give martial arts setting. And right? Now we know.
Quiet you. And every time Savitar Barry explains why he's the villain, boohoo, no one loved me, he just sounds like a whiny little baby. This is a version of Barry who plans to kill Iris West because his origin story is a verse out of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I can't understand why the writers want us to believe that the hero we've been watching for three seasons is such a pitiful creature. Also, I don't know why they want us to think so little of Team Flash. Why couldn't they show Savitar Barry any love? I know how the world looked in 2024, but But is that a fate worse than Barry losing his father right before the potential destruction of the multiverse in season two? Or the death, yes, the death of Eddie and Ronnie in season one after Barry witnesses the murder of his mother at the hands of the Reverse Flash in real time? Tony said that the reveal wouldn't have as much emotional impact if it was anyone else, but the reveal is a momentary thing. The reasoning for it must be rooted underneath the entire story.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I do agree that, because I think we talked about it last week or the week before, that it does seem out of character for the whole team to just reject Time Remnant Barry that way.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Even though, I know some folks pointed out, and rightly so, that there wasn't much of a team. After everything went apart, fell apart, you know, our Barry became a shut-in and ended the team. Wally was broken and gone, right? And so the team disbanded. But that does bring up that question of why, if there was a broken Barry who was the Time Remnant, would have been the same amount of broken at Iris's death as our Barry, right? And why couldn't either of those guys have worked it out with Cisco to be friends? Or why was he so rejected? Because it does feel a little cold for the people that we know, you know? I don't know. It's an interesting theory when you start breaking it down, because Killer Frost, Caitlin's gone. She's still Killer Frost. Barry retreats into himself. And so really it's Cisco and Joe. Well, and Julian, I guess. I forgot about him because he wasn't in this episode.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a long rabbit hole we could go down. But yeah, I do agree that feels like a weird plot thing.
I totally agree.
Yep.
Gary's final thing is, I may be old fashioned, but I don't need my heroes to be a coin toss away from being the villain. I need them to be inspiring.
Yeah.
I agree, but I think they got there.
Yeah, it's that thing at the end. I'm hoping we see more of that from Barry, that doing the right thing, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Great feedback, Gary. Yeah, great Thank points. You. Joe, we got a feedback from Christy.
Yeah.
Christy says, the general consensus seems to be that Iris isn't really dead. If that's proven true next week, then all of the emotion and consternation seems a little fake, since we're just waiting to see how the team pulled this off. A big clue that this is a setup is the fact that HR decided to reveal Iris's location on Earth 2. Even if that was the real Barry, that conversation doesn't make sense, since they were supposed to keep that a secret from him. So maybe part of their plan was revealing her location to either Savitar or Barry, since they basically share all their memories? I don't know, maybe. But then that scene with HR and Cisco felt very real, and there's no reason for them to have that discussion if Barry and Savitar aren't around. That's Tony throwing in his two cents, not Christy. Christy goes on to say, I've decided that I'm not particularly fond of building an entire season around one scene, especially since we've seen that scene, minus Barry shooting Savitar with the Speed Force bazooka, quite a few times already. I would rather be surprised at the end of a season, like seeing Eddie sacrifice himself in season one. I can't believe just how calm Iris has been this whole time, even on the Day of Doom. I would have been freaking out badly. The Flash lost some of its best characters to Legends, so I was so happy to see Captain Cold again. I also love that he was the one convincing Barry not to kill King Shark. Usually that's Barry's job. Christy. Yeah, great feedback, Christy. Thank you. Yeah, good stuff. You're right. That moment of snart convincing Barry. I can't remember the exact line. Look at you being all a badass. Getting all murdery, whatever.
Right.
I think that's what he said. I loved it. Like, who are you? Be yourself and stop it. That,
right.
That worked really well.
Well, and again, it is that relationship, right? That I still have my dearest hope that the Rogues are the villains for next season.
Sure.
And a big part of it is I just want to see, much like everyone else, I just want to see more snart.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Joe, we got any more?
Yes, I believe we do.
I think we do.
We have one from Dad L.
Yay.
Dad L goes on to say, hello, Undergrounders. Wow, this has to be one of the best episodes ever. I'm going to give this episode a perfect 10.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. As Flash fans, could we have asked for anything more? There was so much in this episode, yet it did not feel cramped. The direction was spectacular. We had great stories and great character moments. And most awesome of all, Captain Cold and Killer Shark in the same episode. I didn't catch how Barry was able to locate Captain Cold, and that may just have been a cutscene, an episode that was jam-packed. Now, spoiler alert, Snart's death in Legends carries even more meaning. Yeah, I'm not sure how he found him either, but shh, 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 shh.
He just thought about where he was. We went over this.
He was, right. I think we should get ready for HR to actually be the one who Savitar killed in the place of Iris.
Yep.
I am not sure how that switch was pulled off, but HR definitely being set up for a sacrificial heroic act. Yep,
yeah,
total
I think
agreement.
So too.
Also, I did not see Barry create any time remnants. How is Savitar still around? Are we now in an alternate timeline since Barry made a different choice? Is Savitar now a holdover from that timeline? Is he pulling a thon and was protected somehow? Or have there been rules been bent so much it doesn't matter? I would like to see this stress somehow, and I'm wondering if it will play into Savitar's final defeat. This episode really felt like the season finale, so I'm expecting even more awesomeness next week. Thanks, Dad L, last father of Krypton.
Ooh,
Dad L!
Great feedback.
The reason you did not see any time remnants this time is because this isn't when Barry created the time remnants.
Right.
Yes, it's actually several years in the future, right? 4 years?
I think it was 4 years. That's when he went to 2024.
Right.
The way Emo Barry explained it was Iris was killed, and then several years later, in a big battle with Savitar, he created a bunch of time remnants, and they were all killed except one. So that event of him making the time remnants so that Savitar could English is my first language, so that Savitar could come into existence as one of those time remnants, really doesn't happen for another couple of years.
Yep.
In our timeline that we're watching.
But believe me, to quote Bender Bending Rodriguez, time travel sure is confusing,
man.
And I bet it'll get even more confusing.
Right. Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next week. Man, some really good feedback, great theories and thoughts and questions. And yeah, I we have a smart group of people in the CCU.
Yes, we do.
I like it. So glad. Joe, that's it for this week.
That's it for this week.
I want to take a minute just to appreciate how much fun this show is, because we talk about it all the time. And then this week we talked about all of these different aspects, but man, consistent directing, some amazing acting, storytelling is always good. Even though, yes, there are always going to be moments of that's not how I would have done it, or I don't
sure.
get this, but we all keep coming back because it's consistent and engaging, you know? And so much fun. The cast does so many amazing things. This week, there were so many beautiful moments. We didn't even talk really about how great Sisko was in the moment between Sisko and HR, because that moment was just amazing. You know, I'm so just happy that we get this show.
I completely agree.
You know what I mean? And it's such a funny thing to say right now, but I was thinking about that this week going, I've really gotten behind on like Arrow and Supergirl. I just binge watched season 2 of Sense8, which if you're not watching it, you have to watch it. It's so good. But again, this is one of those shows I keep going, man, I wish it was Tuesday. When is that show? We only have one left of the season. And I just think that's the sign of a good show, a good, well produced, that's produced with care and love, and you know, that you want to keep seeing it. You can feel
yep.
how much the people making it like it.
Nothing quite. There's that. I love that feeling of looking forward to something every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. All right. That's my little, thank you to the Flash people.
Right. Thanks, guys.
They're not listening. They don't care. All right.
They're listening.
Joe, we got one episode left next week. So Tuesday, the finish line. Feedback will be Wednesday night at midnight. And I can't wait to hear what everybody thinks. And I can't wait to see what happens.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. Still hanging on to my prediction. HR is the one who bites it.
Yep. I think so. I don't think Iris is dead.
Nope.
I don't know where we go from where we are right now, and I can't wait to see.
Do we go from here?
Oh, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Nice.
I'm all over the references today.
Everybody, thanks so much for joining us. Great feedback as always, and we will talk to you next week.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.